This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It is a time-honored tradition. It used to be held in Mankato, before that Bemidji, and depending on where you played, you usually went to a college for training camp. Now it's right on site at facilities. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the man that knows all about it. Bob Lertzema, what did training camp mean to you? Were you excited the night before training camp or not?
Absolutely. We had a blast in training camp. We'd sneak out at night, you know, go over to...
No, you're ruining my perception of you guys.
No. The training camp, it was fun. I mean, you made it fun if you came into camp in shape. In other words, the off season, a lot of these guys came to camp to get in shape. You know, I came in camp in shape to learn the defense. And that's why a lot of athletes, probably better than me, you know, didn't make it because of their attitude towards training camp. But we get there with the guys, you know, and everything. It was people, I think, picture how cruel it is, but it's not. You're playing something you really love, you know, every day, and you can grade yourself every day. A lot of times in the business world, you know, it takes... You have a yearly goal.
Sure.
Well, here you got a goal, you know, a daily goal. And then they show the films the next morning or whatever, you know, when you're corrected there. So, no, I liked it. I really did.
So some say that this training camp nowadays in the NFL, they're too short and too soft. Three preseason games and they don't hit. Do you think that's true, or is that just because these guys stay in such great shape and they got so many training camps in the off season that they don't need it?
No, don't give me all the great shape that they're in. No, there's all the things that you said. You know how much tougher the camps are. No, it's not true. They mislead you.
Yeah,
and the players have too much to say about what they're going to do.
Really?
In camp, and as far as the number of one-on-one pass drills you have and
yeah.
the contact.
Yeah.
You know, we started out every practice, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We started out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, excuse me. We started out every practice, you know, with live blitz pickup.
Really?
You know, yes.
Every live? Practice.
I mean, we dug in, and that's the way we started it. And if you didn't like it, well, adios, I'll cut you.
So would you be, I mean, would it be first against first? Would it be you guys against Tarkenton? What would it be?
Yeah, well, we weren't allowed to tackle Tarkenton. You know, we just could touch him.
Yeah.
Because he's a golden boy.
You played with him in New York and Minnesota, so you knew him well.
Yeah. I played 10 years as a friend. He's a piece of work. But
I wish I'd have bought that Apple stock when he bought that Apple stock. I can tell you that.
Oh, man. I had a chance to it, but then that's the time I went out and bought you dinner rather than buy the stock.
I know, and I told you, man, this thing Apple that I haven't heard much about might be okay. But anyway, you couldn't hit him, but the point was you had a lot of contact in practice.
Yep. Yeah, because we started out with 15 to 20 minutes of live blitz pickup. That's where we started practice because you wanted to get that tempo going. You know, you didn't want to come out there and think you're going full speed, but you really, you know, you're faking your way through all these drills. When you go live blitz pickup, there's no way to fake it. They can tell exactly, you know, who has the attitude, you know, to carry over day in and day out.
Okay.
Because you don't have an attitude of just Sundays only.
No way.
And a lot of these young punk kids, they come in, they think they just have to get it up, you know, on Saturday, you know, for the college. And,
yeah.
And Sunday for the pros.
Yeah.
Not the way it works, Matt.
Take a guy like Danielle Hunter, great player, and then he's been hurt the last couple of years. Does he have that in him? Do you see him being kind of a raging bull when he needs to?
I'm a positive person.
Okay.
I don't like to answer this question. But, you know, he's got all the talent in the world, right?
Uh-huh.
But he does not try and give it 100% on every play. And that's the greatest thing an athlete can have, because if you as an athlete are playing, we'll say, defensive end like me, and you're not giving 100% on every play, how can I, as a coach you?
Because you don't know what you're going to get from them.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's coming at 80%. Well, that opens up one other weakness, and you try to correct that, you know, and there's no consistency. Predictability is the greatest thing to have for a professional team, knowing how a player is going to react in a certain situation, whether they come out with a different formation, whether it's split formation, I formation, no backs in the backfield. It's how they make the adjustments. And their attitude throughout their career, you know, and all week, will give you that positivity.
All right, Bob, they've got new coaching staff that obviously they've been with them in the offseason, and it starts tomorrow. You went through different coaching staffs, and you had some legendary ones. Bud Grant, Don Shula you played for, Jack Patera later on in Seattle, all those things. What do players expect from their coaches? And they talk a lot about this being a real positive group of coaches. Will that last, or is that just something that gets you into the door?
That'll get you in the door. But then to stay, they have got to coach. They have to understand the players and be able to coach their weakness.
Yep.
And also understand when you do make a mistake, what was Lurtsy seeing? You know,
yep.
Did the halfback go in motion? Was it split formation? What, you know, because what we would do, when we watched the tapes, we look even at the end zone tapes, and we check out the offensive lineman. Now remember, I'm defensive lineman. We check out the offensive line, the opposing team upcoming, and we do close ups of their feet, and then you could find out if their right foot on the right footed stand was back four more inches.
You know, it was a pass.
No. When it's back, they get off. It's just the opposite, Maxie.
When they put it out wide.
Yeah, that's that.
It's a pass. Yep.
Yes. But when you're doing the same thing in the back, you know that's going to give them a better opportunity to get off the ball.
Right. So what you're saying is those coaches have to be able to. You can be as positive as you want, but the bigger thing is they got to make you a better player, and that's what you really want.
Right. When I make a mistake, of course I never did. I was perfect.
No.
But when you do it, why did Bob do that? The coach has to see that the offensive tackle was 3 inches close to the guard. So I anticipate this particular play, being a seasoned veteran, and it came down to that fine detail.
Yeah.
You see a guy up, same thing, day. All of a sudden, he's off a little bit. Boom. Red flag goes up.
Yep, bing.
And then what we used to do with L.R. Marshall and Page, you know, we'd have a fake call. If we knew we were going to get killed, you know, and they were going to block down, we'd go, Maxie, you know. And then that was our call between the linemen. Jack, defense line coach, nothing. The Vikes, and he's a great coach. I love him. Yeah. But that's how we would do it. But they trusted us. come off the defense that was called, you better be 100% correct.
Better be 100%, yep.
Right, and but see, here's the deal. A veteran player and a veteran coach, you know, if they're on the same page, that's like poetry.
It's such a great thing
to see him perform.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Lurtzy, appreciate it very much. I look forward to seeing you at training camp, my friend.
Oh, you bet. Hey, everybody out there, Cousins is good.
Yeah.
Don't read any negative stuff about him. And Vikes are going to have a good year this year.
That's all I need to hear.
Guaranteed.
I will sleep well tonight. Thank you, Lurtzy.
Okay.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.